welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
In visitation, I ask that you revisit us in Jesus' name and set us aright. We thank you because you are faithful. As you have been giving us understanding, we plead for yet more understanding, even in the name of Jesus. Thank you because you are faithful. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. We are in step number 4 out of a series of 10 steps when we are looking at the process of salvation. Remember, the first step is we must recognize our sin and or recognition of sin. There are several things underneath it. The second step is we must seek for the atonement. The third step is we must accept the justification that comes by faith after we have accepted atonement. Then the fourth step is new birth. New birth. That's the fourth step, or what you call being born again. New birth. That's the fourth step, and that's what we are going to be looking at today. So then, what is new birth? It is the supernatural rebirth of a person by the Holy Spirit after he has acknowledged his sins and sinfulness, comma, embraced the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on a cross, and has been justified, having willfully surrendered his natural life so that by his death he can have real life. New birth is a supernatural rebirth of a person by the Holy Spirit after this person has acknowledged his sins and his sinfulness, after he has embraced the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and has been justified, having willfully surrendered his natural life so that by his death he can have real life. Amen. I said, anybody that will eventually enter into the kingdom of God must experience two births. The first birth is what? I'm sorry? Physical birth. He must have been born by his mother. Okay? And since, because of the nature of man, and because man was born in sin, you remember that we said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Psalm 51 and verse 5. We said, who can take a clean thing out of an unclean? Behold, not one. Job 14 and verse 4. In Romans 3 verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. Now, that being said, we know that when somebody experiences natural birth, it is not an automatic entrance for him that he will have access to the kingdom of God. Why? Because at the point of natural birth, man is born into a nature that is inherently ungodly. Okay? Inherently an enemy of God, into a nature that has no plan or no desire to please God in any way or in any form. In Romans chapter 8 from verse 6 to verse 8, the Bible says, but to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. Neither does he obey them, because those things are spiritually discerned. Now look at it. I'm mixing another scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay? That's what I'm mixing now, okay, with Romans 8, 6 to 8. Okay? Because they are spiritually discerned. Then verse 8 of Romans 8 now said, of Romans 8, 6 to 8, now said, therefore, those who are in the flesh, they cannot please God. So, when somebody is born, that first birth is natural birth. Okay? He is born as a normal, ordinary human being, if you could call it that. Okay? And by nature, by being born like that, because mankind had sinned in Adam, he that is born having just the first birth, okay, is born into condemnation. Please, do you understand? Huh? Because he's not clean, he's not cleansed. Okay? And that was why when this man was asking Jesus, Nicodemus was asking Jesus, but why are you saying that except a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God? Jesus now explained to him that the reason why he said that is because that which is born of the flesh is what? It is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. The marvel not that I say you must be born again. I want you to read that in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. It would be good if we start from verse 1. Okay? Then we just stop around verse 4 or 5.
There was a man of the Pharisees,
yes,
named Nicodemus,
yes,
a ruler of the Jews.
Yes.
This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God.
Yes.
For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.
Yes.
Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?
So he understood that Jesus was talking about birth. Is it not so? Go ahead.
Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from, where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit.
Amen. I want you to get to verse 10.
Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be?
Jesus, what was Nicodemus' question?
How can these things be?
These things that you are saying, how is it possible? What did Jesus answer him?
Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?
Amen. What Jesus meant by be born again, is that what you have experienced? Do you understand? Because if it is not, I hope you know Jesus knows what he meant. And that you assume that you are born again because it's a common statement in the mouths of people who have no understanding. And you think that automatically that means I'm born, I've been going to church, you know. I fear God, I'm a good person. Even the devil believes he's a good person. You know? And somebody thinks that is the basis for salvation. It will be a very, very costly assumption. But the first thing in that passage that surprised me was that when Nicodemus saw Jesus in verse 1 to 2, and he was affirming the call of Jesus, saying, we know. He didn't say, I know. We know, because Nicodemus was a part of the Sanhedrin. I don't know if you know what that means. He was one of the elders of Israel. Okay? Was one of the elders' council of Israel, which constitutes of between 70 to 72 elders. You understand? They are the ones in charge of the temple, worship, and all of those kind of things. So if anybody should know what Jesus is talking about, who should know? Huh? They should know. He was not a small boy. They are the ones that coordinate worship. And he was saying that we know. He didn't say, I know. He said, we know that you are a teacher that came from God. Because nobody can do this kind of miracles that you do except God is with him. I expected that what Jesus would have answered would have been, what should he have said though, if Jesus was a cautious person? I'm not saying cautious from caution. I'm saying cautious from courtesy. What should he have said? Ah, thank you, sir. The Lord is helping us in this ministry. Things are fine. We just appreciate the Lord. Is that not what you should have said? But I saw Jesus just attack that man straight. What did he say? He said, verily, verily, I say to you. If you read it in the Amplified, either the old Amplified or the new, it would sound something like this. With all the seriousness I possess, let me tell you. Let's look at it in the Amplified. Either new Amplified or the old one. What does it say?
Jesus answered him, I assure you. Most solemnly. I tell you. That unless a person is born again and new from above, he cannot ever see.
What does that mean? How will you say most solemnly? When you say most solemnly, what does that mean? Aha. It is in the Living Bible. Sorry. I've just seen it now. Who has Living Bible? Somebody is just appreciating you and confirming that, yes, we know that God is with you. And all. Not even thank you, sir. Not even yes. What else? Go ahead.
Jesus replied. With all earnestness.
With all the earnestness
I possess,
that I possess.
I tell you this.
Let me tell you. Short immediate tell him. I wish I can see how Yoruba Bible puts it. Let me see if I can see how he puts it. Because you may be wondering, well, what is there now, Brother Abraham, that you are looking at this thing this seriously? It is because the unseriousness that the church has attached to the need for every single soul to be saved is the foundation. Of the damnation of most people who from church go to hell. That's why. Okay. I love the Yoruba Bible. Let me start from verse 2. Okunrin yi fi oruboju lo sodo Jesu o wi fun pe Rabbi amo pe oluko ni lati odo Olorun wa ni o. Nítorí kò sí ẹni tí ó lè ṣe àwọn iṣẹ́ ìyanu tí ó ń ṣe wọ̀nyí, àfi ẹni tí Ọlọ́run bá wà pẹ̀lú rẹ̀. Jésù bá gba ọ̀rọ̀ mọ́ lẹ́nu, ó ní. What is that? Jesus didn't allow him to finish what he's saying. Jesus cut him. Is that the courteous way of relating with people? Jesus ba gba oro omo lenu o ni mo fe ki o mo daju pe enikeni ti a ko ba tun bi lati orun ko le ri ijoba olorun. Is that not a serious matter? O gba oro omo lenu. If I was supposed to transliterate from Yoruba to English, you know, transliterate means that it won't sound like normal English. I hope you know. Transliterate will mean, and Jesus collected the words from his mouth. He did not allow him to finish. Neither was he trying to be nice to him. Because he saw this big man that knows Bible. Huh? But he knows he's not saved. And he's like a bishop. But Jesus knows that this bishop is not saved. And when the conversation started, was he saved? It's clear to everybody that he was not saved. But thank God he did not allow his bishop shield and the big car and all those things he has to confuse him. Thank God he asked questions that mattered. The same Nicodemus is in heaven today because he believed Jesus. The rest of the Sanhedrin, they are in hell. Oh, you don't know it was the Sanhedrin that were plotting how much did Ananias and Sapphira collect? You don't know it was from offering money that they paid to kill Jesus. You know, you wonder, how can a pastor do that? But today, you see pastors using juju against each other now. Were they saved? Huh? Were they saved? To even be struggling a parish with another person. I must be the one to go and lead that place. Are you saved? If you are saved, will you have time for that kind of thing? You will not have time for that kind of thing. Jesus said to him, Mofeku mo daju daju pe. That's serious. I want you to know without any shadow of doubt. That's the transliteration of that. Huh? That except a person is born from heaven, he will not see the kingdom of God. Okay, so let me help you. Do you understand why? Or do you understand now? Why, even though we say we are born again, we have no vision of heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? Huh? We can't just calm down and conceptualize what will it look like. Are you a witness? Are you a witness to what I'm saying? Do you agree with what I'm saying? Because I have a vision of what heaven looks like. So I'm not confused. So I know why I'm not living in sin. Do you understand it now? I know why when Mama Tosin will say, Beleba, why I must keep greeting her. And I will not say, but I know when they married her. Well, she doesn't respect me. I know what I'm pursuing. You understand? He said, except a person is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Very serious matter this afternoon. Nicodemus, that is, I was asking a question. Bawo ni ati se le tun eni ti o ti di agbalagba bi gbogbo ewu lele lori. How can an old man be born again? That's what he's asking. What a humble question. It's a humble question. This is not an unbeliever that Jesus met in a beer parlor. Do you understand? This is a man who understands the Bible, who teaches the Bible. Kosha atun le pada wo inu iya re lekeji ki a wa tun bi. Jesu dahun pe mo fe ki o mo daju daju pe again, the second time again. I want you to understand this with all seriousness. The second time he's saying that again. Pe enikeni ti a ko ba fi omi ati emi bi ko le wo ijoba orun. Eni ti a ba bi ni bibi ti eran ara ni. Eni ti a ba bi ni bibi ti emi ni. Ma se je ki enu ya o. Nitori mo wi fun o pe dandan ni ki a tun yin bi o. See how strong Yoruba Bible is. I think I'll be reading it more. What's the meaning of dandan? Eh? Compulsorily. By force. If you are not born a second time, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Or let me now summarize all what he had said. You will not see, neither will you enter the kingdom of God. So to enter it, first of all, what must happen to you? You must have seen it. This is serious. You must be reborn. You must be born again. Because you were born before. Is it not so? Most people in church, they fainted. So, they could only resuscitate. Okay? Because if you were born before, you must have died before you can be born again. Is it not so? If not, it's not. It doesn't make any sense to say that be born a second time again, then it's not, and your first life has not ended. Do you understand? There must be an end to the first life if the second life is expected to begin. Is it not so? So, he was saying to him, you must be born again. If somebody didn't die but fainted, if we pour water on his head, what has he done? And he comes and he revives. What do we say has happened to him? He has what? Resuscitated. Is it not so? If somebody dies and by one way or the other he comes back alive, what do we say? He has resurrected. Now, when people resuscitate, don't they still go back to the way they are living their lives before they fainted? When people die and come back, what do you notice about them? They change. So, the kind of Christianity where somebody used to be a gossip before he became born again, now is now deaconess gossip. I think that it must have been that the person fainted. He didn't die. Such that he could now resurrect. Are you following? Because most of the times we wonder, why is it that my own Christian life, the kind of experiences other people say they have, okay, how they talk to God, how they begin to walk with God, why is it I don't have that kind of experience? It is because to change the nature of a sinner, death is a requirement. Do you understand? The old life of sin must come to an end, okay? So that a new life of righteousness can what now? Can begin. And thereby, through the process of death, okay, and rebirth, there is a replanting of a new nature. Please, are you following me? The nature that does not find righteousness difficult. The nature that will not, after that it is now born again, it still loves sin. Because it loves it so much, and now it's choir master in the church, he must be keeping and hiding the sin. Amen. No. When you have the nature of God, the same way you hated righteousness when you were in sin. That's the same way you hate sin when you are in righteousness. And it's not that you understand anything. You just know that it's wrong. And you avoid it because you know it is wrong. That's all. It's not anything more than that. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Brethren, I have a very sober question. Am I correct to say that most people, most church people, don't see anything about the kingdom of God? Maybe until they die. Am I correct to say so? Huh? So where is most church people going? Huh? For there's a requirement to enter into the kingdom. You must do what first of all? You must see it. What are you talking about, Brother Abraham? The Bible didn't say that you are just trying to twist the words of our master. He's merciful. Okay. I want you to go very quickly to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to read for me verse 8 to 10. Then verse 13 to 16. Hebrews 11, 8 to 10, then 13 to 16.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance.
Yes.
And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
He waited. Is that what is there? He waited for a city.
For he waited.
What translation is that? What does King James say? To look for and waited is not the same thing. Because NLT, what does it say, that verse 10? He was confidently looking forward. Remember that I said that to enter the kingdom of God, somebody must first of all do what? He must see it. So that's why I didn't like waited in that place. Because I know that what was there is, for he was looking for a city that has foundation, whose maker and builder is God. Verse 13 now.
All of these people died. Still believing what God had promised.
Believing what was promised to them.
They did not receive what was promised.
They didn't receive what was promised.
But they saw it all from a distance.
But what happened to them?
They saw it all.
They saw it from afar. Yes?
And welcomed it. They agreed.
Old King James says, they saw it from afar. And they were persuaded before they embraced it. Persuaded there means they were convinced by what they were saying. These things have to be clear to you. It's not just that it just happens that church pastors, church people are worldly. No, it didn't just happen. I told you yesterday that the foundation is what is faulty. A person can't enter into the kingdom except he first of all does what? Sees it. And he can't see it if he's not born again. Jesus said so. I didn't say so. And now I'm taking you on example of several men who are now in that same kingdom in heaven waiting for us to come. And I'm showing you the processes that they went through. I've shown you Abraham. Abi? All this that he's saying there is simply talking about the Old Testament saints. Okay? Said they didn't receive the promise. But what happened to them? They saw it afar off. And what? And they were persuaded by the vision of what they were seeing. And therefore, after their persuasion became a conviction, what happened to them now? They embraced it. Therefore, what did they say about themselves? They publicly said that this world is not my own. I'm only passing through. They could say that. Okay? That the world does not belong to them. They were only passing through this world. Their confession. Okay? Their confession is in agreement with the prayer of Jesus in John 17. When Jesus was talking to God from verse 14, and he was talking about all the people that God gave to him, he's praying that God should keep them from the evil one. That's not saying that God should take them away from the world, okay? But that he should keep them from the evil one, because they are not of the world, even as Jesus himself is not of the world. When you now see a church that is worldly, is it Jesus that those ones are following? Because if Jesus was not worldly and you are worldly, and you are still using in Jesus' name. If you are wondering, but what are you saying? What do you mean by a church is worldly? Any church or any minister who focuses on earthly things is a worldly man. Amen. What is you? It's a worldly person. If you have your questions, be writing them. Why would you say that kind of thing? Are we not going to eat in this world? Won't we buy clothes and do all of those things? is a worldly man. And if he's worldly, he can't be godly. For worldliness and godliness cannot go, they can't go together. It's like light and darkness. The life of Nicodemus has made us to see clearly somebody can know the Bible and is not born again, right or wrong. So you've seen that. So that should remove the question, but are we sure that this man that is showing so much miracles is not of God? You have not finished that passage. You only read verse 13, 14, 15, 16.
For they that say
such, the people that talk like this, that say they are strangers and pilgrims in the world, the people that talk like that,
declare plainly that they seek a country.
What they are telling us is that they are looking for. I think that's the King James. Please, can you shift to King James? If I want translations, I'll tell you. This is King James. Is it modern King James? Okay, read on. They are, when people say that the world is not their own, they are simply telling us they are looking for another country. Yes?
Truly.
And truly.
If they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out.
If what they were talking about is their state of origin. For instance, I mean, I came from Ogun State. If it was Abeokuta, I want to go back. Yes?
They might have had
opportunity to return. Is it not to? Is it not to go to car park, or what do you call it? Car parks or bus stop or whatever. And ask Edo, I'm going to our village. He said, where is your village? In Ogun State. Where in Ogun State? From around Abeokuta side. He said, okay, this bus will take you to Abeokuta. Then when I get to Abeokuta, I'll find a way again to ask, please, where do I enter a bus to so village? Is it not so? I would have had the opportunity to return. Yes?
But now they desire a better country.
But now, it is a better country that they desire.
That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed.
Is not ashamed to be called their God.
For he has prepared for them a city.
Why? He has prepared for them a city. Amen. Are you getting that now? That, brethren, is the challenge. They would have had opportunity to return. Have you gotten to verse 16? Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. What has he done? Because he has prepared a place for them. So, when we talk about being born a second time again, we are talking about being born of the water and being born of the Spirit. That's what it's talking about. We are talking about being born of water and being born of the Spirit. Are we then talking about water baptism? No. So what are we talking about? In Ephesians 5 verse 26, the Bible says that he might wash by the washing of water by the word of God. So we are talking about being born of the word and of the Holy Spirit. That is being born of the word of God and of what now? The Holy Spirit. Where somebody is born, is that not where he will stay? You don't understand. If I give birth to a child now, where would that child be living? Speak up so I can't hear you. He will live in my house. Do you know why we have problem with Bible study? Because most of us are not born of the word. Amen. You don't understand. Do you understand? Do you know why we have problem with living in the Spirit? We are not born of the Spirit. Yet, we say we are born again. This matter is not, it's not a small thing. Yes, we must begin from recognition of sin. I must recognize my sin. I must accept and receive the atonement. I must be justified by faith in Him. And then I must be carefully, do you understand? This same way, carefully brought in so that I can permanently stay in. the kind of Christians that once you are born again, there is no desire for the Bible. Do you give birth to a child? That the moment the child came out, just ran to the next house to be living there. And every time you go to drag him from the place, he still runs back there. No, that cannot be a real child. How long will it be before a child can even go and play in the next house? How many years will it take? Minimum how many years? If your house has a fence, you raise your hand. If your house has no fence, raise your house. If your house has a fence and a gate, raise your hand. Okay, so those of you that have fence, how many years will a child that is born, how many years will it take before that child can go somewhere else to play? 5, 6, 7 years. And how long will he go there to play for? After a while, what does he say he wants to do? I'm going home. So, if it is that somebody was born properly, before I can start having issues with other attentions from the world and other, minimum of how many years? From what you have just said. Now, if somebody is a Christian for 5 years, I didn't say somebody is struggling to grow for 5 years, a Christian for 5 years, will he not know his right from his left? When he sees the works of the devil, will he not recognize that? So you see why I had to go to Yoruba Bible? So you can see. Mo fe ko mo kini o. Daju to ba ri joba orun o le wo. O de le ri. Afi ta ba se kini? Ta ba bi e lati orun wa. For people naturally want to go back to where they came from. I want you to read Titus chapter 2, verse 13. On this matter of sin. Yes?
Looking for that blessed hope.
Can you see that again? Looking for that blessed hope.
And the glorious appearing of the great God.
And the glorious appearing of our great God.
And our Savior,
Jesus Christ. You can even start from 11 to 13.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men.
Teaching us that denying ungodliness
and
worldly lusts,
we should live soberly,
righteous and godly
in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope.
What do we keep looking for all through the days that you spend here if you are born properly? That blessed hope. Yes?
And the glorious appearing of the great God.
We mean that when we say that blessed hope, we are talking about the glorious appearing of our great God
and our Savior,
Jesus Christ. That's what you keep looking for. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12-13. What does it say?
Looking for.
And hastening unto.
The coming of the day of God. Wherein the heavens being on fire.
In the which the heavens being on fire will be dissolved.
And the elements shall melt with fire.
And the elements, the five elements that makes up the system of this world will be burnt off.
Nevertheless.
We, according to his promise.
Look for new heavens.
Are you not tired of hearing look for? Look for. See. What are we looking for?
A new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness.
The kind of Christianity that you are born again and all your prayers, I shall not die. You are not born properly. Amen. You are not born how? If you were born properly, there would be a natural desire to return home. What kind of desire? It's natural in your spirit. It's there. There will be a natural desire to see that the kingdom of God will come. And it will be an incentive to holy living. It will keep you holy. It will keep you constantly awake in the spirit, constantly at alert, constantly watchful, so that whatever that will make you miss it, you strip yourself from it. The kind of Christianity where people are born again in such a way that even if they are telling Jesus, "I'm born again," he will ask them, "Are you born again?" What Jesus was talking about in that passage where he spoke with Nicodemus, is it plain? Is it, should somebody be confused about it? Huh? Was he talking about one spiritual thing, child, that we can't touch? Huh? If somebody is born, who will he resemble? Huh? His father, Abby. So let us use the same bath. You're under natural bath. Didn't you resemble any of your parents? Huh? I'm sure nobody here resembles the neighbor. Abby? You must have resembled either your daddy or your mommy or your uncle or something. Okay, somebody in the family, somebody that you must look like. Abby? How can somebody be born again and does not look like Jesus? Are you following me? Or am I the only person reasoning in this way? So how can somebody be born again and it doesn't look like God the Father? Okay, let's say he missed that one. Didn't look like the Holy Spirit. Let's assume he missed that one. Then didn't look like Jesus again. What will you look like? And we'll continue like that year in, year out. Year in, year out. No longing for home. Instead, all the prayer is, "Lord, don't let me die. I shall not die but live to declare the glory of God." He's not declaring glory. I'm asking you, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be what? You must be born a second time again. You must be born again." I've asked some very serious questions this afternoon, don't you think so? Huh? I will try and repeat some of them. If you say you are born again, I'm not arguing. But Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Abby? If you say you are born again, yet the vision of God's kingdom is not what is you, It's not what you're used to. It's not what you have seen. I'm not saying that you should fall into a trance and see a vision. Huh? I don't need to fall into a trance to say, if I close my eyes, I can see the kingdom. It's a thing that comes to being born again. Let me ask you a question. If you close your eyes, okay, let's even practice it. Wait for writing. Close your eyes. Close your eyes, everybody. See your house. Is that difficult? Do you need to pray, "Father, show me, show me"? Do you need to say any nonsense like that? Did it not come naturally? Why did it come naturally? Why didn't you see the neighbor's house? You didn't come from the neighbor's. Don't be so. In the same way, if you close your eyes, you should be able to see the kingdom of God. Because that is your home. That was where you came from. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, if before now that we are talking, you have not been seeing anything, should I? Are you born again? Eh? You are not. Are you born again? You are not. So most times, you see me just shake my head. Sometimes when I pass by churches and I hear people sing or pray, even the way the prayer is said, you know that the person is a stranger. The person, I'm not saying the people say amen to prayer. The prayer leader is a stranger to heaven. Even the way he's leading the prayer, the way he's doing. The same way when you close your eyes, you naturally see the house that you came out from. Do you notice that? You don't just see your house when you close your eyes, or even if you don't close your eyes. You could walk around the house, right or wrong. As you are seated here, you could walk around where you came from. When the kingdom of God is not more real than your physical human house to you, can you say you are born again? I said people naturally return to where they come from. Is it not so? When you are done here now, where are you going? When you are done this afternoon, where are you going? Huh? Do you pray, Lord, let me make it home? Huh? Do you know why you don't pray that prayer? Even though somebody can even have accident on the way home, you don't pray. You know, somehow by faith, you know you'll get home. Is it not so? Do you know why you are that certain? It's because you know the way. Amen. If somebody is not born again, does he know the way home? Huh? He cannot really know the way home. He can't. Why is that? He's not from that place. He's not born again. Therefore, he cannot see the kingdom. Then he said, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I said, you must see before you do what? You enter. That is, you must be able to know your way in before you can now go in. So, the three things must happen. See. That is, you must see the kingdom. Being born simultaneously of water and of water at the same time. Spirit. Because it is the word of God that you have heard. Either, even if nobody preached to you, maybe God was speaking to you in your heart that you need to change and all of that. That the Holy Spirit acts upon so that you can be converted and changed. Do you understand it now? So you must be born both of water and of the Spirit. And it is not possible that you are born of the word of God and you will not be a lover of the Bible. It's not possible. If Bible study is a struggle, it is because you are not born of the word. Me, I'm not someone that deceives people. I will not deceive you, I'll tell you the truth. It's because you're not born of the word. If living a spiritual life is a problem, it's because you're not born of the Spirit. People naturally return to where they come from. Is it not so? How long will you live with your parents before you are now, quote and unquote, independent, physically speaking? How many years? 18. 18 where? In which country? In which countries? I think in Europe and America and all that. Have you? In Africa, how many years will you be with your parents before you can now be independent? Who are you deceiving? How many years will you be at home before you leave home? Huh? 25? I thought it was supposed to be late 20s. Abby? Late 20s. Abby? I'm saying for most people, averagely. 25. Between 25 to 30 years old. Abby? How many years was Jesus at home? 30 years. Because he left home at 30 to start his ministry. Now, before we can even say you are now independent, such that you can now go 1 week without Bible study, you must have been how many years as a Christian? 30 years. Amen. The reason why you find spiritual life difficult, why is it though? You are not born of the Spirit. I'm saying you are not. It's not you may not be. I got born again at 13. And one of the things I loved to do most was to study the Bible, was to pray.
and I had no teacher. So the issue was not even that, you know, you had a good Sunday school teacher and blah, 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 blah. Who remembered? I don't know what meeting, whether it was the last retreat or something, or the last training. I was saying that some of you need to repent. Who remember that meeting? Who was there? Which meeting was it? Huh? It was the last retreat. I just came onto the pulpit and the Lord told me they need to repent. And I'm like, how? And he began to talk and he said, many of you had Sunday school teachers that came from heaven. Is it not true? But somehow, you think that it will always be there. So you were the one that used to disturb the class during that time. By the time you now want to be serious, it is comedians that are pastors. No, if you are born of the world, you will love the world. I can assure you. If you were properly born, what will happen to you? You will love the word of God. If you were properly born, what did I say? Living in the spirit will not, it won't be a struggle. Why? That is your papa. Do you understand? That gave birth to you. He's one that's been, he has been holding your hand. He's one that has been carrying, throwing you up. You understand? So you naturally grow with him. As I said, it was when I came to church that I became confused about prayer. All the years I used to outside of church, I walked with God. When I came to church, they said, no, they don't pray that way. This is how we pray. You stand like this. You do that. So, and I struggled with that thing for years because I thought maybe because I wasn't born again in the church, maybe I'm not doing it right. Until God came again to deliver me and said, why don't you return to what we used to do together? Amen. And until I returned, should it be church that will confuse me? I'm asking you. Should that be the way it should be? That shouldn't be the way it should be. That should be a house of refuge. Abby? That should be where I will find God. Instead, I found hypocrisy, bitterness, and all manner of things. Is the church then, therefore, no more church? No. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God knows those who are his own. He knows his church. And that we wrote church on the signboard doesn't make the place a church. I don't want to waste time more. So that when the Lord is saying, do you want to be born again? If you want to be born properly, you respond. If you don't respond, is it my problem? If you are born properly, living in the spirit will never be a problem. You see, I keep repeating the same thing. Jesus said, except you are born of water and of the spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He's not first of all talking about entering into heaven. No, he's saying, coming back home, coming in again. That thing that Adam was kicked out from, do you understand? Returning again. That's what he's talking about. Your conversion must be based on conviction of the word by the Holy Spirit. That's the only way. When men who God did not call preach, and they too want to do again, because people are always interested in salvation. Say 200 people, deliverance 19. Something. All those things that they feature on their people on their fly, you know, say featuring salvation, featuring healing, featuring. When they want to do all those, they are featuring. They preach all manner of message so that you can just come out for head count. So that what? They have counted you, but heaven did not count you. They counted you, but your name is not in the book of life. I don't know, but I've tried to see whether I'm crazy or something. See, because the bulk of people who preach don't say these things. Am I making sense? So, I don't know. I've tried to look at it. Is it that it's my own too much? So, I sat through my Bible. I looked at people like Jesus himself. I looked at his apostles. And I found out that the kind of thing I'm saying is what they are saying. So, I told myself, you are not mad. You are okay. Something else is going on. But you're not mad. I have no interest in getting you so that I can keep you somewhere. No. I have all the interest in making sure that your name is in the book of life and you are sure. Do you understand? I have every interest and intention in ensuring that you live a victorious Christian life while you are here in this world. That's what I have interest in. And that's how you will never have any problem with me except you are touching sin. Amen. You will never. Or except you are breaking scriptures. That's only when you have a problem with me. Shevu, can somebody offend me? It's the oldest person that I have preached to and has followed all these years. Can somebody offend me? What can you do? What will you do? But the moment you are living in sin and you want to cling to your sin, we'll have problems. We'll have clashes. And I will stand my ground because I know what the truth is. I said three things that are very important. I said them by the Holy Spirit. Number one, you cannot see the kingdom of God except you are what? Except you are born again. Until now, the reason why you are having problem with the vision of heaven or the kingdom is that you were not properly born again. For Jesus said to Nicodemus, what did he say to him? Except a man is born again, what did he say? He cannot see the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. I'm not trying to make you, I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm telling you the truth. But why must I see the kingdom? Well, what is important there? I need to see it if I want to enter into it. That's why we went all the places that we went, looking at all the saints who have passed. Who kept looking for that blessed hope? Who kept looking for that kingdom that is to come? Who kept looking for that city that has foundation? Somewhere in the book of Hebrews, I think chapter 13, the apostle was saying that here we do not have a continuing city, but we are looking for the one that is to come. How come that all what they were looking for, our own bishops are looking for something else here now? How come it is how many jets you have that we are concerned about now? When that was not their own concern. You can never live a holy life. You can never pay the price to ensure you never fall, to ensure you will end with God in Christ when everything has ended. If you have not seen the kingdom, it's not possible. You will fall. You will go back. Please, are you hearing me? Huh? Because it is vision that sustains people. Where there's no vision, the Bible says what? The people perish. When the vision is vision of when you don't have an apartment in Lekki, once you don't have an apartment in Lekki, what will you do? I think we'll just retire. Is it not so? And you write Ebenezer in front of it. This is how far the Lord has helped us. Amen. Otide bus stop. But if what you want is to reign with Christ, if what you want is the fullness of the gospel that was preached, if you want to make it into that kingdom that is to come. I was listening to a message I preached some 6 years ago, and I found out that it was the same type of thing I was preaching. I said, God, you can help a man. So somebody can be consistent, at least for 6 years. Do you understand? It's the same type of message. If you have not seen it, you have no reason to live a holy life. The Bible said, all these people and all these died, not having received the promises, but having what? Seen it from afar. And were persuaded of them. And they embraced them. And they confessed that they are pilgrims and strangers in this world. For those who say such things, declare plainly that they are seeking another country. For if they've been mindful of the country from whence they came, they would have had opportunity to return. But now, they are seeking for a better country, even an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared for them a city. In John chapter 14 from verse 1, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again to take you to myself. So that where I am, there you can be also. If it is that we must preach like this before you remember, were you properly born again? You must see it. But the only way to see the kingdom is that you are born properly into it. Are you getting it now? So, it is a house that a child is born in that he knows, right or wrong. Right or wrong. He knows, this is where we play, this is our sitting room, this is our... It's amazing when we are now married and we have our own children, you understand what I'm saying more. It's shocking how children differentiate the kitchen from the toilet. Even when you think that they don't know anything. Why? He's born where? He's born there. So he knows the place because he's seen the place. Then I said, how can you be born of the Word of God and you will not be a lover of the Word of God? It is because you are not born of the Word of God. Simple. Maybe that day when you got born again, maybe the anointing was really moving. Anointing. There's something just brought you out. You don't know what brought you out. You were crying like every other person else. They say, Lord Jesus. Say after me, Lord Jesus. You say, Lord Jesus. Only after you go back, you look like something happened, but you don't know. There was no follow-up. Maybe we are just caught up in the moment. Come on, say, Lord. God will help us one day. No. One can be born properly. It is possible to be born how? Properly. It is possible to be catered for. Properly. It's possible. And that's why I'm using things you cannot easily understand. Childbirth. Do you understand? That's why I'm using childbirth. And we said, a child cannot even go to the next house to play. Until like how many years? 5 years. If you are like me, there's no play that you want to play that you are going to the next house. Amen? Play or they play where? Play it in your house. So it may be up to 10 years. And I said to you, so the proper way should have been that if somebody was born by the Word, it should have been between 6 to 10 years as a Christian. Before, let's now say maybe something happened, you know, he got so busy for a period of time and it affected the consistent Bible study life and just so that even if he spends 2 weeks, he won't fall. Why? He has eaten enough that it can keep him for 2 weeks. Amen. Are you getting it? But this one that we are still at the level of, you know, when I just carry the Bible, put it here, hear me. Devil, no. What will somebody read inside it? You are not born properly. For if you were born properly, you will be a lover of the Word. Something will constantly ginger you to carry your Bible. Do you understand? You just want to. You just want to. When you see study materials that will help you to know God more, do you consider getting it or you consider the price? What do you go for first? I'm going to get it. So even if you now don't have the money, you see the way you struggle to buy a new phone. It's because you are not born properly. If you are born properly, that's how you struggle to buy Bibles, study materials that can help you to grow. It's not so that you can preach. It's just so that you can know God for yourself. Let me say it in Yoruba. So that Omanimo Ogbon ati Oye Kapa Aye Ba Mabalikai. Do you understand what I just said? You'll have wisdom, knowledge and understanding, so that you will not become a victim to the system of this world. Simple. God was talking to me, I was praying about an issue this morning. And because he was bothering me, I said, Lord, you haven't given me a word. He said, I've given you a word. So I went to check the word that he gave to me. So of course it was something strong, but I wanted to understand it further. So I opened my Bible study library. And I just went to a book. And an understanding that I wouldn't have gotten if I didn't have that material was written there. it was something about spiritual defense, you understand? And I saw it there. I was looking at the word hedge, which simply means wall or fence, okay? And I saw it defined as a protective and restraining barrier. Hallelujah. Protection for those inside, restraint for those outside because they can't come in. But if I didn't have that material, would I have gotten that understanding? Would my faith have grown?
This Bible, I won't just carry Bible. I will not even understand. Tell you yourself. I don't know what I know. Come for it.
You are not a serious person. It's not come for it because you are not serious. Sorry?
You have not finished.
Okay. As I attempt to wrap up so that we can pray together, and if we now have questions, we can ask, okay? So that we can have enough time. The final thing I said is this. He said, except a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom. Abi? That is, he cannot now be brought into the kingdom of God. We are not saying heaven, but that to be brought in even while you are here on earth. Now, I've mentioned the one of the word, Abi, that the reason why we have problems with the word, with Bible study and all that, is because we are not born properly. Now, what do I mean by having problems with living a spiritual life? And that we are not born properly because of that. And that it's because we're not born properly. If the Holy Spirit is the one who convicted you, and from the day he convicted you, you got converted, you understand? And you started walking with God, and as he's telling you do this, you are doing it, as he says stop, you are stopping, as he's saying take this, you are taking that. Is that not spiritual life? Huh? The more, when it's time to get to the next level, he does something, he constantly gives you prayer points to pray, or he arranges meetings that you be in, where some prayers will be prayed, do you understand? To initialize the next phase of your life. Are you getting it? And you just be growing from strength to strength. Even when you now stumble into sin or something, he is the one that picks you up. What did I say? He is the one that cleanses you. He is the one that encourages and comforts you that you can continue. When sustaining a spiritual life is a problem, it's a foundational problem. And what did we say yesterday about foundational problems? What must we do? Can we pour anointing oil on the foundation and say, Stop! Jesus! Can we do that? What must we do? Ama awopa leni. So that we can rebuild again. For no other foundation can any man lay except that which is laid. Which is who? Jesus Christ. The reason why I said something yesterday, and it's close to what we are saying. I said yesterday, I said, many of us don't even have faith in the prayers we pray to God. Have you? That somebody must pray for us. Can you see that it's the same? It's in the same thing. If I was walking with the Holy Spirit, and he's the only one I know, since he brought me up as a child, and every tiny request I ask, he has been meeting them. Is that not prayer or answers to prayer? Is that not just simply how I will continue in bigger and more things? That's how. You say, no. There's a way when Brother Shekun prays for you. And when it's a ball on it, it's not true. It's because you are not born properly. Amen. There's a Yoruba proverb. I think it's also used in incantations. Even the Bible says it. Can a nursing mother forget her baby? So how will God forget you? No matter what the parent is doing, even if the parent is asleep and has been so tired, when that baby cries, I don't know, it's a grace God gave to women. The husband will wait too. We just say the baby is crying. And they will turn the other side and they will sleep off. No matter how tired that woman is, what do you see that will happen? There's something inside her that knows that she alone is the one that can meet that need. If she has to drag herself up, she will stand up to attend to that baby. I'm talking about prayer. Eh? this one, that baby, must tell elder brother. Go and tell mommy I'm hungry. Even it's against the rules of parenting. It's against the nature of parenting. This one that somebody prophet said, yes, daddy has given me this oil now. He said, when I get to where I'm going, I should pour it. I should pour it. He just don't know. He just don't know. Yeah, bring sand, bring them. What is all that? If you were born properly, because prayer is a part of your spiritual life, is it not so? It's a part of it. Praying won't be a problem. Honestly. Walking with God will not be a problem. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit won't be a problem. In fact, whose voice will you know first of all if you were born properly? You are not answering me again, no? Because you must have heard that voice as you are hearing now as I'm preaching. As he's telling you, as you are hearing it now. Eh? Just as you are hearing now. That's the same way you keep hearing him. You know? And in different things, at different times. When, if you now want to make it permanent that you constantly be hearing, be meditating on the word of God and be practicing what you are doing, what will happen to the voice of God? It will be as if every time. You know that one that you must first prepare before God can hear you. That one that is, I feel the blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. God, I know that if you mark iniquity, who shall stand? You find out that it's not necessary. You plead the blood of Jesus. Call St. Michael 2 times. Jesus, you see that it's not. That is for pagans. You know, I used to say something very interesting, very funny. Let's say, me, I don't know how, when I come back from somewhere, I will kneel down in one small corner. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm sorry for laughing. I'm not saying it's bad. Me, I just don't know how to do it. Do you know why? As I'm going out, there's a discussion. While I'm out, there's what? There are discussions. As I'm coming in, what's happening? There are discussions. So I thought it would be awkward to now stop. My God, please wait. Let me go and thank God that I've come. It is awkward. It was the same God that you're talking to. And like I said, I'm not saying it's bad. But me, I just don't know how to do. I prefer that one that we don't. Is it put down the receiver? I prefer uninterrupted communications. And that's what it means to be in the spirit. And I'm not saying I don't make mistakes. I make a lot of them. But what happens? It helps me. It tells me, no, that's not correct. No, you should do this. No, you should do that. And you do it. Like there's a job that has been giving me issues for a while. So last night, as I sat, Lord, what do I do? I was tired already. That tank job. I just was telling me, do this. He said, Lord, see now, this thing is not doing. He's giving me, he said, shh. Close the software. Reopen the software. I reopen the software. Put that designer that I told you first. As I just put it, bam. So this is the template I needed to do the other pages. I just shut down the same. I went to sleep. My problem has been, how do I? Do you understand? How do I put it together? That has been the problem. Just give me that template, just like that. You can go and sleep. Marvel not that I say you must be born again. You are not born again. You are not born again. I know they told you to say sinner's prayer. I know they clap for you. Maybe some of your churches, they gave you mineral because you got born again. And you cannot afford 200 naira or something. And you have been waiting for the day that you collect your mineral and gala. An handshake and the clap. Then you went out and they say you are born again. Oh yeah, now continue the spiritual life. You can't continue. It is God that works where? In us, both to will and then to be able to do his own good pleasure. It's not inside us. Nothing anybody can do. as we are going to pray, I've explained it, and I use three things to explain. Number one, you can't see the kingdom if you are not born again. And if you don't see the kingdom, it will be impossible to sustain a spiritual life until Jesus comes. Right or wrong? That's the first message. Number two, if you are having problems with the word of God, it is because you are not born of the word of God. If you were born by the word, there can't be any problem, because the word, pardon me to say it this way, I'm not saying it's a doctrine. I'm just using it as an example so that you can understand. The word becomes like father. The spirit becomes like what now? Mother. Do you understand? So just as you normally know your parents and you want to be around them if they are loving people, okay? In the same way, you are naturally drawn to the word, and you are naturally drawn to prayer. Or to the spirit as like a mother. This one that your theme song as a Christian has become, it's because you are not born properly. There's no two ways about it. That's why. So I said three things. You haven't seen the kingdom, it's because you are not born again. You are struggling to be able to study the Bible, to be able to meditate in the Bible, to constantly love just being around the word of God, is because you are not born of the world. If you're struggling to live the spiritual life, you're struggling to walk in the spirit, is because you're not born of the spirit. And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So he can't come in and have the experiences of the benefits of redemption or salvation, as the first teacher taught us this morning. Do you understand? You can't experience it. You can't enjoy it. You can't hold it, because it is not your own. As we stand up to pray, if you want to be born again, come outside. So that we pray. So that as we are done with that, we can begin to ask our questions so that we can close on record time. Let us stand up to pray. You want to be born again? Let us come outside as we pray together. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. I surrender, all, surrender all. I surrender. If you are standing in front, I want you to kneel down and begin to pray. Begin to talk to God on the things of heart. Savior, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. I surrender all. myself I want to be. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. Let me know thou art for me. Myself to thee.
Lord, I give myself to thee.
Fill me with thy love and power.
Fill me with thy love and power.
Let thy blessing follow me.
Thy blessing follow me.
I surrender.
All to Jesus.
Now I feel the sacred flame.
Now I feel the sacred flame.
Oh, the joy of full salvation. Front, I want you to pray and tell him, Lord Jesus, I have understood that I cannot see the kingdom of God except I'm born again. I have understood that I cannot end well as a Christian if I don't see the kingdom. I understand that the reason why I will at any time have problems with my Bible, struggling with this and that, is because I'm not born of the world. The reason why living a spiritual life is difficult and I keep trying and trying but it's not working out is because I've not been born of your spirit. I want you to tell him, Lord, I want to see the kingdom. Lord, I want to be born of your spirit. I want to be born of your word so that I can grow properly, I can grow healthily, even as I wait for the coming of my master. Lord, let this form of grace be done here. Let there be the joy of full salvation. Let everyone arise a child of God. Cause us to be accepted in the beloved. Even in the name of Jesus Christ. Give grace, O Lord my God. help in the name of Jesus. I want you to pray. As I'm convicted by the power that is in your word today, and as your spirit spoke clearly to my heart, as I stand up, that's the kind of Christian life I want to live. Where I'm addicted to my Bible and to spiritual things. Where I can really hear the voice of your Holy Spirit and walk with Him. I want to desire the sincere milk of the word of God that I may grow thereby. I have been taught that it is God that works in us both to will and to do of His own good pleasure. Lord Jesus, I accept you into my heart so that you can work in me your will, so that you can do in me your pleasure. Come into my heart in the name of Jesus. Come in, Lord. Come in the name of Jesus. Come in, Lord. Into my heart. Into my heart. Oh, into my heart. Lord Jesus. Come in. The Bible says, and Jesus went into the temple, and after making a whip of cords, He plucked out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and said, it has been said that my Father's house shall be a house of prayer, for you have made it a den of thieves. You are going to pray as you are knelt down outside. Not everything that is in me, everything that is in my heart and in my life that reject God, everything that struggles against God in me, Lord Jesus, as you come in, flog them out. I give myself to you without reserve and without delay. Flog out everything that will hinder me tomorrow from serving you appropriately. Uproot them, force them out, eject them in the name of Jesus. I want to be free to serve another, even the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says every tree that my Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Every seedling in my heart, every tree that has been planted, for God did not plant there, that stands as a stumbling block, that stands as a bastion of opposition against righteousness, Lord, uproot them all today. In the name of Jesus Christ, uproot them, Father, uproot them in the name of Jesus. By the jealousy of your holiness, uproot them. I want to belong to you alone. I want to belong to you alone, Father, even in the name of Jesus Christ. Because you are good. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory to your holy name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are knelt before you, for unto the Lord shall be the guardian of His people, and not to any man. Lord, we have recognized our sins. We have believed in the atonement of the substitutionary work of Jesus Christ. We know that if we come on the basis and the claim of your atonement, we'll be justified. And therefore, you confronted us today, Holy Spirit, by telling us that except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. And that unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in. Father, because we want to see the kingdom, because we want to enter in to be a part of the beloved, we have come in order to die so that they can be saved. As they have come, Father, put an end to their old lives in Jesus' name. Put a beginning in their lives in the name of Jesus. The beginning of a new life in the name of Jesus Christ. Just as the old life loved sin and sinfulness, in the same way the new life will love righteousness and the pursuit of the things of God. Let that become their individual and corporate experience in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for washing their sins away. Thank you for accepting them in the beloved. Father, as we have asked, make walking with you, Holy Spirit, make love for the word of God their addiction. For that is the tradition of those who are born into your family. Even before the end of this meeting, let their testimonies be endless on account of this, their decision. They will never do this again in Jesus' name. They will never have to say they want to come out again to be born again. For it will be forward ever for them and backward never in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you because you are faithful. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. God bless you. Please let us be seated. We are still praying. Those of us who are standing and the rest of us that are joining them, I want us to pray. And my prayer is this. Father, I desire that every time I open the word that you will confront me. I don't want it to be long before I see what you are saying or what I need to do. And as you confront me, help me to respond with speed to whatever you are confronting me about. In the name of Jesus, let us pray together. Father, it is my desire that whenever I open my Bible, that you will confront me. If it is your love that you want me to understand, confront me with your love. If it's that I need to change about something, you confront me with about that thing. If it's that I need more faith in you, Father, I desire that you confront me on the need to have more faith. And as you confront me, help me to respond to you with speed in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for what you have done for us. I bless your holy name. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. Let us be seated. Before you ask your questions, those of us who made the decision to be saved, and the rest of us also, it will help us also. I want us to open to Colossians 2, verse 6 to verse 7. Colossians 2, verse 6 to verse 7. This is the way, this is the law of spiritual growth. This is what? It's a law of spiritual growth. And it's also the law of remaining in the Spirit. Colossians 2, 6 to 7, then we'll read somewhere in, I think it's, I don't know whether it's 1st or 2nd Timothy, I'll look for it, but chapter 3, I'll look for that. But let us begin with Colossians 2, 7 to 8. What does it say? Sorry, 6 to 7. I said 7 to 8. 6 to 7.
As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord.
Just look at me. Just as you have received Jesus Christ this afternoon. Yes?
So walk in him.
You see, the way you receive him, that's the way to walk in him. Please, do you understand? It's important. The way you receive him, what is the way that by which I received him? That is the door into the kingdom. Is it not so? Is it not so? That it was the one that said that unless I accept I'm born again, I will not see the kingdom. Huh? In the same way you walk with him. Lord, I want to see your kingdom. So instead of waiting for vision, do you understand? Get what I mean? Instead of doing like this, you go to Revelation 21. You see all what was written about the kingdom. You make that your meditation and prayer. After a while, you don't need to go to Revelation 21. You remember the song? Oh, 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 oh. Heaven is in my heart. Do you remember that song? You can carry God and the kingdom of God with you anywhere you go. Jesus said the kingdom is within you. Such that that becomes what you see. And it changes your perspective about the world forever. Please, do you understand? As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's how to walk in him.
Rooted.
Okay? You must become rooted.
And built up in him.
That is the root of your life. Must go deeply into who? Jesus Christ. And by drawing strength through that root, you are built up by Christ. Yes?
And established in the faith.
So that you can be established in the faith. Hallelujah. Yes?
And as you have been taught.
And as you have been taught.
Abounding in heat with
you
thanksgiving.
You can keep abounding with thanksgiving. Amen. Very quickly, also verse 8.
Beware.
Beware.
Lest anyone cheat you.
Don't let anybody carry you away.
True philosophy.
True philosophy.
And empty deceit.
And vain deceit.
According to the tradition of men.
According to the traditions of men.
According to the basic principles of the world.
According to the rudiments of the world.
And not according to Christ.
And not according to Christ. Who did you come out to receive? Huh? From today, who must you follow? Please, do you understand it? Never follow men, including this man standing here, beyond how you see them following Jesus. And if they are not following Jesus, tell them, say, go be. Bye-bye. And you follow who? Jesus. If you follow him, you will arrive home safely. Amen. Remember the scripture we read yesterday? It said, Jesus has died to take us to who? To God. It's a long journey, but he plans to hold you by the hand until you get home. Jude 24 says unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Huh? And to present you blameless. Before the coming of his glory, with everlasting shout of joy and of victory, he can keep you from falling. Do you understand? But you must follow him the way you have received him. Never forget the message that was preached. Me, the thing that made me to be converted, I remember it up to today. When I was going to be regrafted in again after I backslid, I remember the exact words. That one was the statement was said, as long as you keep on sinning, you keep on losing. So I looked around and I saw how much losses I've had because I was living in sin. And I went to make it right. Do you understand? So you must not forget what happened or how it happened. When people forget it, they begin to mix with all manner of things and they lose the vision of heaven. Do you understand? They lose the purpose for which they are on earth. You will not lose your vision. You will not lose your purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The second scripture, let me just go there very quickly. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. What does it say?
But you must continue in the things.
Please hold on, let everybody open. Then you read. Yes?
But you must continue in the things which you have learned.
Yes.
And been assured of.
Yes.
Knowing from whom you have learned them.
Yes. You must continue in the things that you have learned. And you have been assured of. Knowing those of us who taught you. Please, do you understand it? why most people lose their salvation is that they don't continue. I pray for you that you don't end with these 2 weeks in Jesus' name. I pray that instead of you ending with these 2 weeks, you will continue. Since you have been assured that this is the truth, you will continue in it in the name of Jesus Christ. If it is that fellowship is what you are going to join, join fellowship. Amen. If it is that you are going to be in a form of discipleship relationship, be in it so that you can be properly, constantly catered for. It's very, very important. May the Lord help you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you have questions, you can ask from the things we learned or from the things you wrote down. Okay, number one, did you stop? I think it's five now. There was something left there. If you have questions on it, you can ask just before we close. Your questions can come from the points that were written down and I did explain, okay? Yes. It is strong. I wasn't the one that said so myself. It's not in my notes. It's the Holy Spirit.
That word. You said the reason why problem occurs in Bible study is because one is not born of the word. Okay, I'm not asking that word. How can one be born of the word in such a way that even when they are materials, or when they are like material, let me use the word materials that you want to use
for Bible study.
Bible study, you won't feel all this for just one scripture or one a particular thing I want to know, and you feel like you won't feel tired, you won't start, and you don't want to. You know. The foundation, you are also concerned about the foundation, like you just want to get it right. So how can one be born of that word?
Very good question. To be born of the word, this is what it means. It means that on the day you were saved, like today, what convicted you was the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? It was a laboring process. You know, when the woman goes to the delivery room, God has now given birth to you by what now? By His word and His spirit. Are you getting it? Now that He has given birth to you by His word and by His spirit, how will He take care of you? Just be following me. Don't worry, we are going to arrive. Just follow me. You just take it that you just follow me, okay? Because I want to use very simple human things to explain. By His word and by His spirit. Now I want you to imagine His word and His spirit. I hope you know I'm saying Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I hope you know that that's what it simply means. I want you to imagine them as one. When the baby is born, who do you then give the baby to? The mother. Who is the mother now in this regard? The word and the spirit. You are not the determinant of what you will learn in the Bible if you are born properly and you have been born properly. God, the Holy Spirit, or God Himself is the determinant. He knows that what is required as you are starting out is milk. That's why women breastfeed. Is it not so? In the same way, according to 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, it says, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. Now, you know what's interesting? But how would that desire come? Share? How will I have that desire? It is God that works in us, both to will and then to do of His good pleasure. It's God that puts in that what now? Desire. It's God that makes you to be able to sit down. If you're able to pray for 9 hours, who did it? It's not because you do anything. The day you want to start saying, I was in love with Him on 9 hours, the one who says, you will see that 9 hours will no longer be possible. You understand? It will now be very difficult to even pray 10 minutes. Why? Because the person has abused grace. Okay? What is the grace of God? Or what is grace? Grace is simple. How do we define grace? God working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That is the grace of God. Amen. Where it is all of God and none of you. Now, why I gave you those two scriptures is to kickstart a Bible study life. Okay? One of the things that helps with Bible study is prayer. What's one of the things that helps with Bible study? One of the prayers I pray so much and over again in my life is, Lord, I want to be hungry for you. And as you are filling my hunger, satisfy my hunger with more hunger. Amen. Do you understand? As you are doing what? Satisfy that hunger with what? Just as I'm filled like this, bless me with a higher level of hunger again. So what happens? I won't have a choice, but consistently, what do I now want to do? I want to keep returning. I want to keep returning. I want to keep returning. Not because I don't have work or I don't have what to do, but it's an addiction. You understand? Can you help an addiction? Once somebody is addicted to something, you can't help an addiction. So what happens? You won't know why you just want to keep doing it. You just want to keep being at it. Not because you want to preach to anybody, but because you want to know God. Huh? All the beautiful things that He has given you, you want to have mastery over them. And you want to have mastery over your destiny. Do you understand? So that no devil can just take the remote control and it's remote controlling you from anywhere. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, there's something interesting that is written there in verse 12 that should be a help to Bible study. Can somebody read for us very quickly? 1 Corinthians 2:12. It's a serious help to Bible study. What does it say? Yes? The spirit that you have received is the one that is from God. Yes?
That we may understand.
Yes.
What God has freely given us.
Why are you giving the Holy Spirit, my sister? Huh? You didn't receive the Spirit of the world. It is the Holy Spirit who gave birth to you that you have now received as a gift. Huh? You know the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit? He will live with you until the day when you are about to die. He's the one that accepts you. Hallelujah. That's how we can have confidence even in death. You understand? When you open your eyes on the other side, who is there? You are now able to see Him. Hallelujah. Say, Baba, so this is what you look like. So He will be there with you. What does He want to do as He's here with you now? The things that are freely given to you by God. Eh? Why you have the Holy Spirit is why? So that He can show them to you. Do you understand? Will Bible study be difficult again? No. Because if you understand that this is what it's about, that it's not so that we can know something because one hour I'm going to pray, you know those funny things that we do. But if it is for your own life, if it's that you need answers, if it's that you have perplexities, you have questions, things that scare you and you don't know what to do. He told me this afternoon, you know I know all things. Hallelujah. And it's beautiful to be able to trust Him who knows how many things, all things. He said to me, because you know I told him I was praying about something. He said, you know I know all things. My word, as someone who knows all things, should be enough for you. Hallelujah. Should it not be? It should be. Since He knows all things. I don't know all things, so I can be afraid because I don't know. He who knows all things, can he be afraid? Because He knows what? Everything. He doesn't just know all things. He's everywhere present. Hallelujah. He's not just everywhere present. He can do all things. And nothing can restrain His hand. So, Bible study becomes beautiful because now you have a promise that why the Holy Spirit is giving is why you, so I can understand the things that have been freely given to me by God. Those things that have been freely given to me by God, where are they kept? Huh? In the world. Hallelujah. It is the Spirit that interprets the word by the word. Amen. I hope I'm not using too much big grammar. It's clear. It is the Holy Spirit that does what? He's the one that interprets for you. Do you understand? The Bible. He will use several other Bible verses to explain just the point. Because it's perfect. When he connects scriptures, I can call it enough about Ba. Ha! Now, wow. You understand? And when it's like that, as long as you desire to keep a very close relationship, it will only be from glory to glory. The same thing that you are reading, if it's that it's demanding that you should do something, all you need to do is ask him to help you to do it. He will help you. In the toilet this morning, I was reading something that I wrote about prayer. I call it encouragements to prayer. What did I call it? That is the things that make prayer interesting. Okay? And one of the things that I remember that I wrote is that most people who want to help us may be willing, but they may not be able. Some may be able, but they will not be willing. But at every point in time, God is always willing to help us and is always able to help us. So that alone, I don't want to go into all the other ones so that it won't distract us. That alone should be an encouragement for me to do what now? To draw close. Baba, you said I should come. That's Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And what? And obtain mercy, you know, so that we can find grace to help us in every time. How many times? Every time. So, even if what it's saying I should do is difficult, all I need to do is simple. Lord, you said I should come. You gave me a blank check in Matthew 7 verse 7. Ask, it shall be given to you. Seek, you'll find. Knock, the door will be opened. So, Lord, I'm asking. Lord, I'm seeking. Lord, I'm what? I'm knocking. God is simple to work with. It is human beings that complicate it. It's very, very simple to work with God. Okay? So, you begin to see the Holy Spirit sitting down with you to explain the word. Somewhere else, Jesus, when he was introducing the Holy Spirit to us, he said, he shall glorify me. Who is Jesus? The word of God. Huh? Who is the Spirit? The Holy Spirit. He said, because he will take of things that are mine and he will show them to you. He will even remind you of the things I've taught you that are yet to come. Okay? That's what you do, my sister. Don't start by getting very big commentaries. Maximize, first of all, what you have. What do you do? Whatever you have, maximize it first. When your hunger has now become voracious, not only will he tell you, yes, it's time to get other materials that you can use, he will give you money, or he will bring those materials to you free of charge. Okay? May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Is there any other question before we close?
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel, or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8-0058, 080-813-8536, 080-7455-8177,
081-4099-1321, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life